I'm Tom Hall. Welcome to Midday. Chef David Thomas of Ida B's Table and John Shields of Gertrude's at the BMA, plus veteran foodie Sasha Wohlhandler join me for our annual pre-Thanksgiving edition of What You Got Cookin'. Plus, it's Midday with my mom. One of my favorite cooks, Rosemary Hall, also checks in with some tips on making Turkey Day a hit for your family and friends. Whether it's your maiden voyage or if you've been to this rodeo before, let us know what's on your mind at T-minus one day and counting. Do you have a favorite trick, a funky side dish, a particular flourish you add to your table before everybody sits down? Give us a call, send us a tweet, share your Thanksgiving memories. It's the midday before Turkey Day, and my mom's here.
Yes, I am.
First, the news. Afternoon, I'm Tom Hall. Welcome to Midday. It's the What You Got Cookin' Thanksgiving edition, a beloved tradition here on our program since way, way back 2016. Remember 2016?
Yes.
Life was different then, wasn't it?
Chef, it was.
Exactly. It certainly was. Chef John Shields of Gertrude's Restaurant is here. Chef David Thomas of Ida B's Table is here. And coming up later, a brand new segment, Midday with my mom. My mom, Rosemary Hall, is in the house with our good friend Sasha Wohlhandler, and we'll hear from them in just a little bit. But first, with the magical day of Thanksgiving upon us, maybe you haven't quite gotten your act together yet. Maybe you're at the brink of despair and panic. Or conversely, maybe you're completely on top of everything and you risk making a mistake born of overconfidence. That often happens to me. I got this under control then. Either way or somewhere in between, David and John are here to talk you through any and all of it, and we'll do what we can to help you make sure that everything goes smoothly and tastes terrific tomorrow. But most importantly, we're looking forward to hearing about your family's special Thanksgiving traditions, your favorite recipes, your favorite memories, your favorite part of what, for many folks, is their favorite holiday of the year. You can give us a call here at Midday, 410-662-8780. Our email, midday@wypr.org. You can drop us a tweet at @MiddayWYPR, and you can check us out on the WYPR Facebook page where we are streaming our conversation. John Shields is a chef and the proprietor, along with John Gilligan, of Gertrude's Restaurant at the Baltimore Museum of Art. His latest book is called The New Chesapeake Kitchen. Welcome, sir, and happy Thanksgiving.
Oh, happy Thanksgiving.
Chef David Thomas is the chef and co-owner with his wife Tanya of Ida B's Table, a modern soul food restaurant on Holiday Street here in downtown Baltimore. And last night, he appeared on the hit show Chopped on the Food Network, and he won. Congratulations.
Thank you. Appreciate
it. Happy Thanksgiving, and that's
well.
Terrific. So how does that work? How did you end up being on Chopped? And I wasn't able to see the show, but you competed against another chef or several chefs?
The way the show works is that there are four chefs to start, and then it dwindles down to two, and then those last two go against each other, and then the winners decided. So we filmed in May. It's a Thanksgiving episode, so that's why they didn't air it until last night. Martha Stewart was one of the judges, and some of the items that we had to cook with was Martha Stewart's butternut squash soup and, you know, a couple of the items that she's famous for making. So that's what we had to cook with.
So this is the thing. They give you the ingredients,
yes,
right? They say, here's these
secret
five
basket.
Things.
Yeah, you
a
get
secret,
secret basket, and you get to open a basket, and you, for the first time you see these ingredients, you got to decide what you're going to cook. I got a whole turkey, and I got mashed potato ice cream, which was disgusting. they try to throw you these curveballs to see what you can create from it. So
and for real, you did not know in advance. You're sitting there on camera, and
you
open up the basket,
yeah,
and they give you, and then there's a time limit, right? You've got to come up with this.
You have each course, so you have the appetizer or hors d'oeuvre round, the entree round, and then the dessert round. So you do get 30 minutes for each one of those rounds. 30 minutes. So, and then it's all edited down. So,
right.
It was, It was interesting.
And the judges eat it and decide which is the best one.
Yep. Who's a winner, who's a loser.
And you won. Yeah. $10,000 prize. That's terrific.
Yeah.
And then you also go back for like a season of champions.
Yeah, the Chop Champions. I'm not sure. They haven't contacted me when we'll be filming that, but sometime next year, I would imagine, we'll be going back to do the Chop Champions episode. So, yeah.
Yeah, that's good. Now, have you done any of these other TV food shows?
You know, I've been on television, you know, with local, the news stations.
Right.
And gone on and done segments, but never an actual cooking competition on television. So this is my first time doing that. I've done local cooking competitions, Mason Dixon's chef competition here and some other ones. But, yeah, it's my first time doing it on television.
Yeah, so. Well, congratulations, man. That's really terrific. That's terrific. And, John, of course, you've been hosting TV shows for a while.
For too long.
Not competing with anybody.
Yeah.
But, and your new book is doing beautiful, the new Chesapeake Kitchen.
It's great.
Yeah. Is there such thing as a Chesapeake Thanksgiving? I mean, is there a, you know, a sort of regional take on Thanksgiving that could be said to be true for, you know, everybody in this area?
Well, I
would guess not, but I may be wrong.
Well, you know, I mean, I think you have a lot of the regional influences that you'll find. I mean, the oyster dressing or the oyster stuffing for turkeys is something that's a bit, you know, more particular to this area. You'll find a lot of things could be with pies done with black walnuts that have that, you know, really astringent kind of flavor. So, you know, it's basically just finding the things that are unique to that region, and it becomes part of the Thanksgiving. But, you know, besides the sauerkraut, it's pretty much what most people around the country eat, you know, when you think of the stereotypical traditional Thanksgiving dinner.
Mm-hmm. And people do eat sauerkraut for Thanksgiving around here.
Oh, absolutely.
I grew up all over the country, and I can't think of any of the states that we lived in, and we lived in like six or seven places before I went to college, that sauerkraut is part of the deal. And you have a recipe, actually, which we'll put on the on the web for sauerkraut and apples. So how do you prepare it?
Well, it's really, you know, you're taking sauerkraut and you want to get a fresh kraut, you know, not the canned kraut. And you rinse it many, many times. You take a little of the sour out. And then I usually use some bacon or some butter, sauteing some onions and garlic, and then apples and ginger. Then take the sauerkraut that's been rinsed and toss all of that in there. And then I either use a dry champagne with it, or you could use an apple cider, bring it to a boil, cover it, and let it braise for a while, and just all the flavors come through.
Just mix together, yeah.
It mixed together really nice.
That's all good stuff. I mean, that's the whole thing about cooking. If you throw good stuff in, you get good stuff out.
And it's a good one for people who don't really traditionally like sauerkraut. Yeah. You know, it tones it down, has some other aspects to it, and they go, "Ah, this is good. I never thought I liked sauerkraut."
Yeah. So, David, how about in your family? Is there a tradition for a particular dish that other people might find kind of an offbeat choice?
You know, for us, you know, it's, you know, a typical Southern meal, and it's funny because these things that, you know, most people around the country think about for Thanksgiving is stuff, you know, in the African American culture we kind of eat all year long outside of turkey. You know, mashed potatoes and gravy, and, you know, it's the greens and the mac and cheese, candied yams. You know, those are the things that we kind of, you know, gravitate towards for Thanksgiving. I know in my family, my grandmother used to make this corn pudding, and I'm still chasing that recipe. It's it was just something I will never ever forget. At some point, I'll be able to kind of get close
and
to that.
And she
recipe,
just had that touch, that certain.
Yeah,
touch.
Yeah. You know, when she was 90 plus when she passed, but remember, you know, going to her farm and watching her, you know, pull the husk off the corns and soaking them, and then, you know, making that corn pudding with it. It was just amazing to see, and then taste it. It was like, I never tasted anything like it, and I still haven't tasted anything like it. So
yeah, and it's like the quest. You got to figure out how to duplicate it.
Yeah,
the way she actually did it.
Yeah, it's hard to
just
do.
Tweak it this way, tweak it that way. Just keep it. That's what cooking's about. It's a bit of trial and error. David Thomas from Ida B's Table and John Shields from Gertrude's are here with me in Studio A. I'm Tom Hall. It's our pre-Thanksgiving special. Our number here at midday to hear about your Thanksgiving traditions, the things that really light up the holiday for you. 410 662-8780. Our email, midday@wypr.org. Our Twitter handle, @MiddayWYPR. And you can catch us on the WYPR Facebook page. That's where we're streaming our conversation. So, John, Thanksgiving is always, and I haven't cooked a Thanksgiving dinner now in a while because we've always gone to our friend Chickie Grayson's house for the last several years. And we'd gone to other folks' houses in years before that. But it seems that it was, as I recall, it was one of those things that it took 4 or 5 hours to make the meal, mm-hmm. and then people ate it in 20 minutes. It was like, what is wrong with this picture? You know? So the ritual of eating really needs to be returned, especially on behalf of all the cooks out there. Right? We need to take a little bit longer to enjoy the turkey, don't you think?
I think so, yeah. After all the time and effort you put into it, you would like that to happen.
People say that cooking turkey is simple. You know, I hear, and these are people who don't even cook. Oh, I never cook, but I make a turkey once a year. That's the only thing they ever do in the kitchen. But I'm not so sure. I mean, getting a moist turkey inside and a turkey that looks like, you know, it's out of a magazine on the outside is no easy feat, I don't think. What do you have any particular tricks or tips?
Well, you know, there must be so much copy and so many pages written on turkeys and cooking turkeys and how to cook turkeys and how not to cook turkeys. Brine it, don't brine it. Now, brining was huge. Now it's out. This season it's out. You know, it comes, it goes. Everybody's looking to keep the turkey moist. I have been cooking it kind of like my grandmother always cooked it, and I think of it kind of as a big chicken. I don't get too complicated with it. You know, I put it into a oven that's a little bit hotter. It could be about 400, 425 degrees. That's just to brown it a little bit, and then I just take it down. Take the temperature down to about 325, and just let it roast. And
So you brown it a little bit first.
Yeah.
Right? And you it's uncovered.
It's uncovered. And then I baste it as it goes. About every 20 minutes, I'll baste it with the fat and the juices that are there. And as, you know, we've learned earlier, if the cooking's going on and it's starting to get a little too brown, just take some tin foil, put it around the edges of it and stop it from browning. And it's a good thing to have a meat thermometer. And, you know, you can... Yeah, the ideal is, you know, you're supposed to have the internal temperature about 165 degrees, but good idea is to, I take it out at 155 because I'm going to let it sit for a while before I'm going to carve it, and it's going to continue to cook. Mm-hmm. I think, it, you know, we've changed the way that we approach food now. In the old days, whether it was the greens or the broccoli or the asparagus, you thought you had to cook it to death so that you wouldn't die. And it was right. The same thing with the turkey. And, you know, I mean, I think all of us have dug into that dry turkey because they wanted to make sure it was really cooked. But you don't have to do that.
Of course, yeah. This year, it seems that death avoidance really just involves not eating romaine lettuce.
Yeah, so don't stuff
the CDC has said, you know, that's not a good bet. So forget the Caesar salad. Change the menu.
That's out this year.
Yeah. And, David, the patience about roasting a turkey is important because you don't want to take it right out of the oven and carve it immediately. You got to let it sit for a little bit.
You got to let it rest. Most people don't have the patience to do that, but I think in families, when you're cooking for the holidays, hopefully you're cooking it well in advance and you have the time to let it sit. However, I deep fry my turkeys.
Uh huh. Yeah. How's that work?
It's a simple process. As long as you have,
but you need the right equipment. You need a big deep fryer. Big thing.
Yeah. If you don't have, most people don't have a deep fryer in their house, so they buy those kettle pots and they put them outside with the burner and fry them outside. But yeah, so I deep fry my turkeys every year, and as long as you do the same process, you take it out before it reaches that 165 degrees, because mm-hmm. it's going to continue to cook even outside of the fryer or the oven. It continues to cook, so you want the temperature to slowly rise while it's seeping or keeping the moisture of the meat in, because the white meat dries so very quickly.
Easily, yeah.
And if you overcook it, it's just... it's a waste of all that time. So
now, do you have to prepare the turkey in any particular way? Do you cook it first in an oven and then put it in the fryer, or does it go straight into the fryer?
Yeah, it goes straight into the fryer raw. So I take it, you know, I pat it dry, salt it, and then put it right into the fryer. And, you know, the thaw process is roughly 5 minutes per pound.
Mm-hmm.
So, you
5 minutes per pound.
5 minutes per mm-hmm. pound. So,
it would cook a little quicker than a turkey that you're roasting.
Yeah. So I could cook a 20-pound turkey in 2 hours.
Wow. Whereas a 20-pound turkey roasting it your way is a 4 or 5 hour affair.
Exactly.
All right. Well, we'll have more when we come back. We will take some calls and comments when we come back from this quick break. Our phone number here on Midday, 410-662-8780. Our email, midday@wypr.org. Our Twitter handle, @MiddayWYPR. And we are streaming our conversation here with John Shields and David Thomas on the WYPR Facebook page. Executive Chef David Thomas and his wife Tanya are the proprietors of Ida B's Table, a modern soul food restaurant in downtown Baltimore. David was the big winner last night in a special Thanksgiving-themed episode of Chopped on the Food Network. And David, you're getting lots of shout-outs on Facebook congratulating you for that big win.
Thank you very much.
John Shields is a chef and author of several cookbooks, the latest of which is called The New Chesapeake Kitchen. He's also the host of Coastal Cooking and Chesapeake Bay Cooking on Maryland Public Television and PBS. He and his husband, John Gilligan, are the proprietors of Gertrude's Restaurant at the BMA. By the way, Gertrude's is one of many sponsors of the Y of Central Maryland's annual Turkey Trot 5K race. Linnell and I, my mom, Rosemary Hall, whom you'll meet a little bit later, are proud to be part of Gertie's Gobblers. That's a team that the folks at Gertrude's have put together for one of the races tomorrow. We're in the one that launches from the Y on 33rd Street in Baltimore City. There are also races in Bel Air, Perry Hall, Ellicott City, Towson, Westminster, Abingdon, and Arnold. So they're all over the state. Proceeds from the race go to help the Y of Central Maryland. It's a good cause and a good way to work up a sweat before you dig into your Thanksgiving meal. And we've got a link to the various race locations at wypr.org/midday. I understand you can register today or even tomorrow at whatever race site you choose. It's Midday. I'm Tom Hall. Stay with us.
You're listening to Your Public Radio, 88.1 WYPR.
And welcome back. It's our special pre-Thanksgiving edition of What You Got Cooking. I'm Tom Hall. Thanks for being with us. We hope you're going to have a great holiday this weekend. Coming up a little bit later on our show, a brand new segment here on Midday. We're calling it Midday with My Mom. My mom, Rosemary Hall, joins our good friend Sasha Wohlhandler right here in Studio A. We'll talk about desserts and how to cook for a crowd. That's coming up later today. And a reminder that coming up tomorrow at this hour, Turkey Confidential with Francis Lamb of The Splendid Table. So if your oven catches on fire tomorrow at noon, call them. Don't call me. You are, however, welcome to call me today. If you're just joining us, Chef John Shields and Chef David Thomas are here to help you avoid any and all Thanksgiving disasters before tomorrow and to hear about your Thanksgiving traditions. David Thomas won the most recent episode of Chopped on the Food Network. It aired last night. He's the executive chef and owner of Ida B's Table, a terrific modern-day soul food restaurant here in Baltimore, named for the great muckraking journalist Ida B. Wells. John Shields is an author and television personality who presides over Gertrude's Restaurant at the Baltimore Museum of Art. That's named after John's grandmother, Gertie. You are welcome to join our conversation at 410-662-8780. Our email, midday@wypr.org. Our Twitter handle, @MiddayWYPR. And we are streaming on the WYPR Facebook page. Let's go to the phones. Alfonso in Baltimore. Happy Thanksgiving. Welcome to Midday.
Hey, happy Thanksgiving. Thank you for taking my call. I break from tradition. I don't cook a turkey all night long and all of that. I think that's hooey. I cook my turkey at 450. I cut the breast open surgically, then make like 3/4-inch slices. I insert a bacon and on both sides and on the thighs and legs. Sew it back up. I always add my seasonings while I'm doing that. Baste the turkey in a nice olive oil. Cover it with tin foil in the oven for 450 degrees until I reach a desired temperature on the inside of the bird with a thermometer. And my birds always come out juicy and tender. This year, I'm thinking of smoked oysters and a applewood bacon. And I stuffed the inside of the bird with apples that usually are served to the kids.
Wow, it sounds delicious.
Nice.
And it works. Now, Alfonso, do you perform the surgery and add the bacon and all that stuff after you've cooked it for a little while, or have you done that prior to putting it in the oven at 450 degrees?
Oh, no. We do that before we cook the bird. And it's really fun because I found the string that you use for cooking when you tie up a roast.
Right.
I said, okay, great. If it comes out dry, you add something that's going to add some au jus to it or whatever. And I do that, and I put my seasonings in. You can barely taste the bacon. And if you didn't know it was in there, you wouldn't know. You're just getting a really juicy white turkey meat. And that is just like an awe and surprise to everyone. And when I tell people I cook it at 450 degrees, they look at me like I've committed sacrilege or something.
Well, thanks for sharing that, Alfonso. I really appreciate it. Thanks for the call and happy Thanksgiving. How many are you cooking for? How many you got coming over tomorrow?
Tomorrow it's just small, me and my wife, my daughter, her husband, the two kids, and whoever else might stop by. And the last thing is, you have to brown the bird. You have to take the tinfoil off of it. You brown it. And if you really like sweet, especially for the kids, I make a au jus out of some honey, brown it, and then put butter on it for that really good flavor.
There you go. Boy, it sounds delicious. Now, and a 20-pound bird will take you how long to cook at 450 degrees like that?
Now, like I said, I put in the little thing, and I usually start like 2.5 to 3 hours beforehand, and I am always in time for the table.
There you go. All right. Well, that's something. You're a better man than me, Alfonso, because I'm never on time at the table. Yeah. All right. Well, thanks so much. Happy Thanksgiving, Alfonso.
Happy
Appreciate
Thanksgiving
the call.
To you. Yeah.
So, I mean, David, there, as the saying goes, there's more than one way of skinning a cat, and
certainly
there's certainly
is.
More than one way of cooking a turkey. But it is interesting. John, I think, is exactly right, where brining was real hip for a while,
true.
And now brining's like, no one's doing that anymore.
Yeah.
Deep frying, I think, is actually gaining in popularity.
Yeah.
It would seem to, if I had to guess, I mean, I hear more and more people doing that.
Yeah, I think, it started probably about 11 years ago. People really started, deep frying turkeys at home. And then I didn't hear about it for a while. It was stuff that people just did down south. But, I mean, now I hear more people commenting how they're going to deep fry their turkey. And I think it's because people have less time now. And a turkey doesn't take much longer. It takes a lot less time, rather, to deep fry than it is in the oven. So,
yeah.
Provided that you don't drop a frozen turkey into the deep fryer.
Right.
All should be well.
Yeah, exactly. So, no frozen turkeys under any circumstances. You really want a fresh one.
Absolutely. Yeah. You should use a fresh turkey.
And don't fry it in the garage.
Yes.
We've lost a lot of garages over the last 10 years in the
Every
country.
Year you see on the news, a tragedy that's occurred
some
because of a
explodes.
Fried turkey. So one of the things, I'm a decent cook. I'm not like you guys, obviously, but I'm a decent cook. But I am gravy impaired. I just can't make gravy. I'm terrible at it. So you got to give me some tips. How do I get the gravy to be the real deal, John? What do you think?
Well, I usually use the things from the turkey to make the gravy. So I've made a stock ahead of time. Sometimes I'll even get some other turkey wings and brown them off with a bunch of vegetables, the things you would make a stock, with your onions, carrots, celery, da-da-da. And so you want to have a good stock to make your gravy. And then I use the grease from the turkey as kind of my base for it because I'm making a roux. Essentially, you got to make it because you want to tighten it up. I don't like a real pale gravy. I cook the roux for a good bit and get, sort of a rusty nail color. And then I slowly pour in my stock and season it up a little bit. But you really want to get all the flavor from the turkey and all the things that went with it. And then you have a pretty good gravy. It's really not that hard. But so many people get nervous about it.
Yeah, I get terrified about it. But, I mean, you make it all the time. I mean, Ida B's has gravy on the menu with a lot of the dishes in it. It's delicious. But it seems to me it's kind of like driving a stick shift. I mean, once you learn how to do it, you can do it anytime.
I mean, I think like Chef said, I mean, once you have the technique down, that roux is probably second in importance, obviously, the stock is the most thing because that's the flavor.
Mm-hmm.
If you got a good stock, you just need to make a roux. And I think that's how I think all chefs do it the same way.
Let's go to the phones again. Sharon is calling us from the Home Depot on Perrin Parkway. Sharon, are you buying a turkey at the Home Depot? Do they have a sale I don't know about? How you doing? Happy Thanksgiving.
Same to you. My own little warning is be careful with those oil turkeys, peanut oil turkeys, because we did one a couple of years ago, followed the instructions exactly, and everyone who had that fried turkey wound up with the trough.
Uh-oh.
All that oil made everybody sick, and we followed the instructions to the letter.
All right, so what kind of oil did you use, Sharon?
Peanut oil.
Peanut oil. So, David, what do you think? Do you fry it in peanut oil, or should that create any problems?
I don't, because so many people have peanut allergies nowadays.
Oh, yeah. Sure, of course.
I just use a nice corn oil mix that and the reason why people use the peanut oil, yes, it does impart flavor, but what people really don't realize is that it has what we call a higher flash point, meaning that it takes a lot longer for peanut oil to burn than it does other oils. So that's the main reason why people are using peanut oil. It does impart some flavor, but mostly because it doesn't burn as quickly as other oils. So you don't have to use peanut oil. I don't use it. Because I feed so many people and people who have allergies.
Do you do like canola oil? What kind of oil do you
use? Basically, canola is a corn oil.
Uh-huh.
You know,
corn oil, vegetable.
Yeah, so I use a blend of that, olive oil, because olive oil doesn't burn as quickly as canola.
Mm-hmm.
So I use those blends. I try to stay away from soy now because people have an aversion to soybeans now. So, but yeah, you can use more standard cooking oil as long as you don't overheat the oil. And that's usually the biggest problem with people is that they overheat the oil because they want the turkey to cook faster, and it really doesn't make sense. You need to have it at an even temperature, around 150, 160 degrees, and let that turkey just cook.
Yeah.
And I've never had a problem with that.
Patience. Got to be patient. So, John, in your family, what are the traditional sides that you serve with your turkey?
Mashed potatoes, gravy, stuffing, candied yams. Sometimes green beans, usually greens. We're doing stewed kale this year. Cranberry sauce. And then we have the one from Gertie that was a cranberry jello mold with grated apples and carrots in it that we have to have every year, no matter what we have. It's just like, whether people eat it or not, you have to have it on the table. It's just
a tradition. In this day and age, with everybody being pretty hip to food,
yeah.
You know, the term jello mold, when it appears in any name of a dish, it gives people pause.
It gets them frightened. So it's just, you know, the ones that we generally know is some of the traditional things. You know, when I was a young chef and was out in California and came back, you know, I was making all these, you know, great dishes, and they hated it. Oh my God, they hated it. You know,
forget this gourmet stuff.
Yeah, they want the traditional thing. Yeah. So I just keep it real simple, and the tried and true, and then you're still connected to many generations by using those same recipes.
Brant on Facebook Live says, "Hi, John, David, and Tom. I've created a turkey dinner sausage, which is becoming my new tradition. Come to the Old Court for turkey bowl tomorrow for some." Stephanie says, "The way I learned to cook sauerkraut, combine it in a pot, and then she has this long, involved thing where she talks about, and I can't see it on my screen now, but she says that she can cook it combined with a bunch of other stuff in a big pot. And she says, I agree about the fresh over the canned smoked neck bones turkey, my preference, or pork. So smoked neck bones. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And Michelle says, what do you think about turkey brining or not brining and wet versus dry brining? So here's a brining advocate. I mean, there are still a few of them left. So wet and dry, what's the difference there?
I mean, it really depends. I mean, the key thing is not to overcook the turkey. I mean, yes, brining imparts some flavor and it does keep the turkey moist to a degree. But the most important thing is don't leave it in the oven or don't leave it in the fryer too long. That's what's going to promise you a nice, moist turkey. I prefer, depending upon how much I'm cooking and what I'm trying to do to the bird, I like a dry rub is what we're talking about, because I've done many different flavors of turkey. So case in point, if I'm doing a a Creole or Cajun version, mm-hmm. I'm rubbing that with my blacking seasoning. I'm let that sit, and then I fry it or put it in the oven. If I'm doing it jerked or smoked, then obviously there's a different preparation has to be involved in that. So,
and you mix it up. You switch them out every year. I mean, you don't do the same kind. You play with it different ways.
Years ago, at my other restaurant, we had this crazy notion. I guess I didn't have enough to do. I had 9 different flavors. And we these turkeys.
Wow.
You know, I did. You know, I smoked one, and that was like a 12-13 hour process. And then I had a jerk turkey. I had a Cajun turkey, and
all at once.
It was insane. So I don't do that anymore, but every now and then, yeah, I'll change the flavors that we do with the turkey. Yeah.
All right, so we're out of time, and let me ask a very contentious question and see what you guys think. John Shields, you go first, then David. You're going to have to weigh in. You're going to have to commit. You can't prevaricate, or you can't mess with this. You got to tell the truth here. What time should people eat Thanksgiving dinner? The time of day for the meal.
3 o'clock.
3 o'clock. All right, we've got an afternooner. David, what do you think?
I would agree, 3 to 4. And the reason behind that is because after you eat all that food, you need to keep moving. The later you eat, the less movement there's going to be. So
it's health and fitness.
Absolutely.
It's turkey and health and fitness. All right, great to see you both. Happy Thanksgiving. Congratulations again, David, on the big win last night on Chopped. Congratulations, John, on the wonderful new book.
Thanks,
Chesapeake Kitchen. And we'll see you guys soon, I hope. Appreciate it. Okay, Chef David Thomas. He's the chef and co-owner with his wife, Tanya, of the terrific modern-day soul food restaurant, Ida B's Table. It's on Holiday Street downtown here in Baltimore. And David was the big winner on Chopped on the Food Network in an episode that aired last night, which you can catch on demand, I'm sure. John Shields is a chef and author of the new Chesapeake Kitchen. He also hosts Coastal Cooking and Chesapeake Bay Cooking on Maryland Public TV and PBS. He and his husband, John Gilligan, are the proprietors of Gertrude's Restaurant at the BMA. By the way, we want to thank Dangerously Delicious Pies for serving lunch today. They've got locations at 2839 O'Donnell Street on the square in Canton and at 810 West 36th Street in Hamden. Their menu includes a large variety of homemade sweet and savory pies and quiches. Thanks to them, you can find them on DangerousPiesBalt.com. Quick break, and when we return, it's midday with my mom. Sasha Wohlhander joins us as well. I'm Tom Hall. Stay with us.
I want to thank you for giving me my pride. Sweet kisses to you and everything you do. I know I never found another one like you. If I do, my love, it won't be true.
This is Your Public Radio, 88.1 WYPR.
Ah, yes. Love grows where my rosemary goes. The musical stylings of Edison Lighthouse, one of the most forgettable bands of the 1970s, but especially on Thanksgiving, I'll never forget how thankful I am to have Rosemary Hall as my mom. And she's with us for our annual pre-Thanksgiving show here on Midday, because Thanksgiving is about family. It's about love and the kinship we feel with those closest to us, at least that's the way it's on TV. So here on the radio and on Facebook, which is kind of like TV, according to Jamila Kremple, our digital producer, my mom is here. She's made the trip from hot Atlanta, Georgia. She and my wife, Linnell, and our daughter, Miranda, and her partner, Lee, are all going to our friend Chickie Grayson's for Thanksgiving tomorrow. It's the first time that I've had Thanksgiving with my mom in many moons. I have 4 brothers, and mom always liked them best. But, Mom, all is forgiven. It's okay. How you doing? Happy Thanksgiving, and thanks for coming.
Well, thank you. I'm a big fan of this show, and I am delighted to be here and honored to be here with Sasha.
Yes, Sasha, your good friend and our good friend. She is the mother of What You Got Cooking, our segments that we started 1,000 years ago on the morning show and here on Midday, a dear friend. Sasha, happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving, Tom, and it's my great honor to be here with Rosemary, who, as you just mentioned earlier, you're one of 4 brothers, making five altogether. Yeah. 4 and 1. And Rosemary, you are the queen of cooking. I would think cooking for 7 every night, and I'm sure there are stray friends coming in. You must have had between 8 and 10 people all the time. What was that like?
Well, I sometimes wished that we owned a cow. that would have helped. But we at one point had to buy a 60-inch round table, a pedestal table from some restaurant supplier because we had to fit more people at the table.
Of course you did. Yes. And I know you always had enough food for everyone because you are just that kind of person. How did you manage all the whims? I know when kids are growing up, but I don't know that Tom still has a few things he doesn't quite like to eat. So
olives,
if this one doesn't,
it.
Olives, I know you've said that.
Can't
and if this one doesn't like the broccoli, or this one doesn't like the olives, or this one, how did you manage that and keep law and order in that house?
Well, you just cooked and you served, and if they didn't like it, they just...
They went hungry.
They just,
that's it.
Well,
you put the food out there, you know, you take it or leave it. Yeah.
But you know, they'd come home from school, they'd eat. We'd have supper, then 2 hours later, they'd eat again. And they were eating constantly.
Yeah,
and
five boys, you know.
Yeah.
And of course, Mom, you grew up in an Italian household.
I did.
With eight people in that house.
I
and
did.
Big meals were a regular occurrence.
Humongous.
Every Sunday, right?
Every Sunday.
So what was Sunday dinner like, even if it's not a holiday? Just a regular Sunday
dinner?
It was
always the roast beef. It was always the roast beef with roasted potatoes and a lot of vegetables and a lot of desserts. And Sunday evening, the best part was Sunday evening. I was allowed to have a roast beef sandwich on rye bread that had a Bermuda onion sliced with the... Oh, I thought I had died and gone to heaven.
I'd like to bite that right now.
Yeah,
Rosemary,
exactly.
Tell me a tradition for your Thanksgiving. What, taking that Italian background, did it translate to Thanksgiving in your household?
I tried very much to, but when I was growing up, our holiday dinners lasted for hours and hours, and my grandmother made ravioli from scratch, her own pasta, her own filling, and we had a filling of pork, veal, and beef, and we filled these little packs. My brother and I used to squeeze the edge. They sat on the table overnight. We never got sick.
Well, you know, that's...
We've never heard of...
That's the most interesting...
Yeah, they weren't in the refrigerator.
No.
Were,
and
right.
Now, of course, here all we've heard about, I'm looking at my turkey thinking, am I going to kill everyone?
Exactly.
Does it have salmonella? I don't ever... My mother put the turkey on the counter. Nothing was washed.
Right.
And I'm still here. And I'm wondering, you know, here we've got salmonella, and who knew that you'd walk into a grocery store and look at a head of romaine and think, oh, my God,
yeah.
It's going to
kill me. It's going to kill me. Yeah,
so it's interesting. Do you think that our food... It's almost a metaphor for how awful the world is.
Oh, but we were eating pure food.
You were eating pure food. That's exactly.
We were not eating chemically treated beef.
And the ritual of eating was Sunday dinner didn't start at 6 o'clock.
No.
I mean, you started in the afternoon.
You started in the afternoon.
And there were no dishwashers or anything, so you would have a course.
No Cuisinarts, no microwaves, no double ovens. And they did all of this.
By hand.
By hand, very quietly, very gracefully.
And there were little interregnums between courses,
oh,
right?
Yes.
I mean, you'd have a course, and then I guess the women would go in the kitchen.
You had
and...
to wash the dishes so that you could reset the table. Holiday dinners, I don't think I'm exaggerating, but I do believe holiday dinners were at least 8 hours.
Wow.
In between courses.
So you would have the ravioli.
And then the turkey.
And then...
And the stuffing and the creamed onions and the turnip and the mushrooms and the vegetables and all of those wonderful things and the cranberry sauce. Then after that, you had your pies and cakes. And then you had fruits and nuts.
Let me ask, Rosemary, was there any wine consumed?
Oh, my dear.
I'll take that as a yes.
Yeah.
Right. Thank God there's no salmonella ever found in wine. We can all drink another glass or two, right?
Yeah. It's still an important part of my diet.
Yeah.
Excellent.
Yeah. But,
yes.
Sash, I mean, you know, you were a caterer for 100 years,
right.
and so you've cooked for big crowds and stuff. I mean, of course, you know, you were running a business, so you, of course, were concerned with, you know, what you were paying for the ingredients you had and all that kind of stuff. But just in general, I mean, if someone's not used, and almost no one is used to cooking for, you know, 20 or 25 people if they're coming for Thanksgiving tomorrow. I mean, are there general guidelines you can offer as a person who knows about cooking for big groups?
Well, I think the general guideline is, you know, usually you've got a pound of turkey a person because you've got all the bones. So I have 16 people coming tomorrow, so I have a 22-pound turkey because I always like a little extra. And Rosemary, I know extra is part of your family ideas.
Oh, yeah.
And I think your side dishes, you think about an ounce or two a person because they're going to have the corn pudding. They're going to have the stuffing. They're going to have some vegetables. They're going to no romaine.
Yeah.
Throw that out.
Forget the Caesar salad.
So
dish.
The candy. So you know you're going to think in terms of that, mm-hmm. as to like an ounce or an ounce and a half of everything,
mm-hmm.
and that kind of makes out a little bit more mm-hmm. possibly. Mm-hmm. And
yeah, mm-hmm. We have a phone call from Doug in Baltimore. Doug, welcome to Midday with Rosemary Hall and Sasha Wohlhandler. Happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving to you. So I'm leaving work and headed home to make my traditional two apple pies from scratch. That's what Dad does.
Good
on
for you. Good for you. But, now, what's your trick for apple pie?
Betty Crocker, just pull the old recipe out and make it from scratch. And practice makes perfect.
There you go. How long have you been doing it?
God, probably 15 years or so.
God bless. That's true.
Doug, what do you put into yours? Do you put any nutmeg? Do you put any cinnamon, any ginger? How do you, apple filling?
Yeah, it's the most simple. It's just the sugar and cinnamon and I guess it's nutmeg, and that's it. So whatever, it's just it's a simple recipe.
Mm-hmm. That's great.
That's a good one.
How many do you have for Thanksgiving tomorrow, Doug?
So we normally have 18 or 20. I think we're only 11 this year, but it's a great tradition, and it's fun. But I want to make a quick comment, if you don't mind. You all were talking earlier somewhat nostalgically about food and less preservatives that we used to have and that sort of thing, and that's all true. But I think you have to also remember that food has never been cheaper in modern times for people, and although there are issues, I think, with our industrial food system, as you talked about romaine and other things, it's a very affordable, and I think people as a percentage of their income are paying much less for food than they were a while ago. So there is the other side of the coin, mm-hmm. to benefits to that.
Yeah, no, that's a good point, Doug, and I appreciate that comment, and again, happy Thanksgiving. And of course, we're talking about these, you know, large feasts, and we want to keep in mind those folks who don't have family,
yes.
who don't have friends, who mm-hmm. don't have an option of having big feasts, and who can't afford the food even as reasonably priced as it is, and we keep them in our prayers and in our hearts. And there are a number of places, the Big Addy tradition, and mm-hmm. a number of places here in Baltimore. I know that a lot of people volunteer at some of the kitchens that make food available for everybody. So God bless to all of them. But, you know, Mom, one of the things that has always impressed me about you is that it's kind of like David Thomas, you know, who was given a basket of ingredients and he could come up with dinner. You always seemed to have enough food because it was when Dad was home, and sometimes he wasn't. He traveled a mm-hmm. lot, so he was mm-hmm. away from Monday through mm-hmm. Friday. So maybe it was six of us, but if it was seven of us, it was almost inevitable that one of us would have a friend or two mm-hmm. or three. So mm-hmm. it was never seven for dinner. It was always eight or nine or ten, and you always seemed to have enough. And you the thing that always impressed me is that you were unflappable. I mean, it's just, you know, when people would. Someone would come and say, is it okay if Jimmy stays for dinner? You know, oh, sure, fine, okay. I mean, did you learn that growing up in that big Italian household?
Oh, perhaps, but I also learned how to handle a crowd when I was raising five children under five by myself when your father traveled. I had to get things done to please everybody at the same time, and it just sort of evolved. But I did try to cook a lot for supper so that I could have some left over, because you guys had a habit of having maybe warmed over spaghetti before you went to school.
Yeah, we would eat whatever was there.
You were never,
Sure. We just got a couple minutes left, Sasha, and I want to talk about these wonderful things. If you're checking us out on Facebook, you can see them here in the shot. You've got some pears, and you've got a really super simple recipe for two ingredients, pumpkin spice cake. Tell me about that.
Well, I know we talked about that last year, and it's all over the internet, folks. If some of you are sitting out there and you think, oh, all this cooking, it's sort of like me being in the middle of astrophysics and I don't understand a thing. You can do this, guys. Get a can of pumpkin, get a spice cake mix, put them together in a bowl, whisk it together with, take your wooden spoon or a regular spoon. And I made little muffins here. You can put it into a loaf pan, you can put it in a pan and bake it. That's It is as simple as can be. You cannot imagine it.
Perfect.
As long as I just told you to, that's how long it will take you to make that. It takes 2 seconds.
So it's doable.
Oh, very.
Don't panic.
If you're panicking, eat one, Tom. I know I'm always torturing you with this.
I'm going to eat that in just a second.
And I put a little cream cheese frosting on it, which is just taking a little bit of softened cream cheese, folks. Put a little milk in to soften it up. Put a little bit of sugar. Taste it. You need more sugar. Add some more. If you want to put cinnamon in there, put a little. If you want to put a little ginger, put a little dollop on top and a nut, and you are going to look like a rock star.
Indeed.
It is so simple to do. You can do it. That other gentleman talked about an apple pie, and we've got a free form one here. Get your pie crust in the frozen food section, the one that just, or not the frozen food, the refrigerated section. Mm-hmm. If you don't have time to make a pie crust, cut out big circles, like about 8 inches, pile, or you can do one whole big one, pile up, cut up all your apples, throw sugar, cinnamon, toss it all together, and with your hands, pull the crust up around it. Boom, you've got a great, wonderful, free-form apple crostata.
All right, we will have some of these recipes on the website. We'll have the recipes that John Shields talked about and some of the stuff that David mentioned earlier in the hour. So, Mom, happy Thanksgiving. I'll see you later. And, Sash, happy Thanksgiving to you, and love to you both. Thank you, Tom.
Great honor to be here.
Rosemary Hall feeds the world from her kitchen outside Atlanta, Georgia, and occasionally admits to being my mother. Sasha Wohlhandler was a fixture on the culinary scene in Baltimore for many years and a frequent contributor to this program. That's it for us today. Tomorrow, during the midday hour, it's Turkey Confidential with Francis Lamb. And on Friday, we'll rebroadcast a conversation I had with one of America's leading intellectuals, Jabari Asim. We'll talk about his latest book. And on Monday, we'll be back live with the new Inspector General of the City of Baltimore, Isabel Mercedes Cumming. It's midday. I'm Tom Hall. Before we take our Thanksgiving break, a word about a few of the many things I'm thankful for. I'm grateful for our colleagues Luisa Amaro and Yancy Cunhos for keeping things looking great throughout our building, and Ray Heppner, who keeps an eye on all things technical. And I'm grateful for all of our colleagues here at WYPR. I'm thankful for the terrific team I'm honored to work with here at Midday, our producers, Rob Sivak, Sienna Greaves, and Kathleen Cahill, our director and engineer, Luke Spicknall. Thanks also to Katie Marquette and Jamila Kremple, who contribute so much so often, and Austin Coughlin at Clean Cuts for our theme music. All of us at Midday are very grateful to you. We really appreciate your tuning in to our program. We appreciate your questions and your comments, your perspective, and your clear and palpable concern for our city and our state and our country and our world. We cherish the Midday community of listeners, the opportunity our team has every day to contribute to the ongoing conversation about our democracy and about the things that animate and illuminate our lives is a blessing and a gift. We do our best to meet the challenges of this precious responsibility, and we appreciate so much that you are such an important part of our efforts. I'm Tom Hall. Thanks, all of us at Midday. And all of us at WYPR wish you and yours a very happy Thanksgiving.